Sanmar and Bella Canvas, we are talking about it on this episode as Sanmar pulls Bella from SNS in an interesting but smart move, I think. But we're going to dig into this. We're going to go a bit deeper behind it. Steven's got a bunch of stuff to share and pretty excited about getting into the weeds. But first, a couple incredible partners that put this show on every single week, as usual. Number one, Stahls, stahls.com. If you're ready to take your custom apparel to the next level, Stahls is the leader in heat printing solutions. They've got a code too, Hustler20, Hustler20, that saves 20% on your next DTF transfer order. Equipment, transfers, or support for your business, they are there. Also, they are running an incredible amount of live events that I find very fun and helpful to be at, partially learning everything, but also partially picking up and meeting a bunch of the people there. So that's really cool. Definitely check that out. Multicraft Daddy, head over to Instagram to multicraft_daddy. If you need ink supplies or daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies have been around for over 50 years, providing the industry with top brands at competitive pricing. Dave is amazing in a way that really helps people. He wants to go meet with them, wants to talk to you. He truly wants to help your business. Reach out. And not only that, if you DM him your email address, he's sending out gifts like PMI tape every single week. Not only that, he's got some fun industry tidbits and videos that he makes on his Instagram profile. So check that out, Instagram_daddy. GraphXSource. GraphX offers industry-leading outsourcing options for your shop by truly becoming part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and any other shop management softwares. When it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, they have been around for over 40 years in the game. Hit them up and use the code PrintavoPod24 to get 50% off your first order to give it a try. They've obviously got full-time staffing solutions and then ad hoc as well, plus tons of other stuff. Check it out, graphxsource.com. Last but not least, Easy Way. Easy Way is continuing their monthly giveaway, $250. Easy win. Go to easyway.com/giveaway, put a reminder the first of each month and drop in your email address. They make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their systems, chemicals, and equipment. Also, an incredible team there too. I mean, they've got a really, really great support system to be able to help you as a shop be able to grow your business, especially in the reclaim side. So don't miss the giveaway. Go to easyway.com/giveaway. $250 in product credit is the easiest way. All right, let's jump on in.
Bruce. Welcome back.
Thank you. And thank you to the nice text messages and some gifts that are really kind and thoughtful. So, yeah, it's been great. First baby. I shouldn't say first baby. A baby. Because I don't know if there are more or if there are not.
Oh, how many diapers have you changed, Bruce?
Dude, I'm getting pretty good. I'm not as good as Chrisette, but I'm getting pretty quick.
One-handed?
No, definitely not one-handed and definitely not blindfolded, but still getting better. Bath time's a little tricky. They're just very squirmy. They're very cute, but also very squirmy.
Has she, is she on a surfboard yet?
No, but maybe with kids, everybody goes through this of like trying to, oh, I want them to be able to do this and this and, you know, share this activity with them. And then I'm like, wait, I just hope they enjoy those things. Because if they don't, then I guess it'll be fine. We'll just do other stuff. But that would be nicer if we could do the same stuff that I like doing.
Well, I'm sure that surfing will be in her future. No doubt about it. Good to have you back and congrats and stuff.
Yeah, you had some dope episodes. The Mr. Marcotte was always a good one. Kevin's always a good one.
We went to the well. We've got some good bangers coming out. There's some fun ones. Bruce, I want to talk about the email that you forwarded me yesterday.
Yeah, so we kind of pivoted our topics and stuff, but I thought this was interesting. Sanmar, as we know, purchased Bell and Canvas back in May. I'm assuming they had been working on this deal for quite some time, but, you know, two very large companies. And SNS, though, sends an email that says, When the acquisition of Bell & Canvas by Sanmar was recently announced, the market was told the brand would continue to be available through authorized wholesale distributors nationwide. We have since learned that Sanmar has chosen to be the sole authorized national wholesaler of the brand, period. It's a lot longer. There's like, here's the plan and so on and so on. I'm sure everyone's gotten this email by now. And I thought it would be fun just to talk about it. I thought it was a little bit funny, but, you know, in the, oh, not surprised, but wow, that was quick.
Yeah, I mean, let's just set the record straight. SNS and Sanmar, they're leaders. They are incredible business people, right? Like Jeremy and his team, right? Frank and his team, like business is war without bullets. And it's chess and checkers and Catan and Battleship and World of Warcraft and whatever. But like what we are watching is business war. Say it what it is. And if the Sanmar team's listening to this, the SNS team's listening to this, because I think we're the best podcast ever. What a prolific feat of business strength that is happening right now in our industry. Like, get your popcorn out. It's nuts. I don't know if anyone's right or wrong, but just take a second and admire what is happening. Holy shit.
Yes, yes. Let me give you the timeline. Okay. So I had to go back and find these, cause I was like, wow, this happened really quick. Or is it just, there's a lot going on and whatever else. So here's the timeline. May 18th, not of 2025. I'm talking about this year, May 18th, just about a month and a half ago. Quote, Bell & Canvas, a press release, will operate as an independent brand and its products will be continued to be sold through authorized wholesale distributors nationwide. That was May 18th. Now, I guess to be fair, they didn't give a time frame. they didn't say, you know, forever. They didn't say for the next 90 days. They just said it will be continued to be sold, period. June 29th. Transaction completed press release that goes out. It says, you know, we've completed the transaction of Sanmar acquiring Bell & Canvas and, you know, all the corporate words, like we're excited for this partnership and so on. July 1st, Sanmar is no longer selling Bell & Canvas to SNS. So it was a very quick turnaround. And to be honest, if we go back to the Dan Frank episode, I was talking about there's no chance. Maybe we've got a clip in there. There's no chance Sanmar's going to continue selling for two hyper-competitive distributors like this. There is no chance that they would want to help out the other person by allowing them to sell their brand to them.
I mean, this isn't a, like, what's interesting is like Apple and Google, even though they're hyper-competitors, they have to find ways to work together, right? Same in like the chip world. But like, this is Sam's Club and Costco. So I think as I was like doing my research, it's really important to understand the positions of power that both companies are in, because I think, Bruce, what's really important here is how these companies operate. Do you know much about SNS and their structure right now?
No, tell me more.
Okay. So SNS is majority owned by private equity. It's a private equity firm called Clayton, Dubilier & Rice. They got a majority stake in 2020. CD&R, they're one of the largest private equity firms in the world. And a private equity firm will buy a company and they will hold it for 4 to 7 years. And they will either like flip it, IPO, but they are going to make money on what's called an exit, right? We've talked about this exit. And, you know, they're not family owned, they are buying this to generate a profit after 5 to 7 years. And so like, it's really important to understand the private equity playbook, because the Sanmar playbook, I think, is very different. Bruce, do you want to talk through how Sanmar structured their ownership and how that's different from PE?
I mean, well, Sanmar's been owned by the family since 1971 by Marty Lott. We've had Jeremy Lott on the show as well. So the family has been running it, I think, out of Seattle for quite a long time and being able to grow it, that company. And that company is pretty unique, I think, in that they've dove into verticalized integration, to, you know, nth degree, similar to a Gildan, right? I mean, you could talk more about the Gildan side, but like, you know, all the way from the way back and growing to mills and dying to sewing to distributing and selling and becoming a bit of a, I don't know if retail is the right word, at least on the Gildan side, but not the Sanmar side, but
pretty vertically integrated.
Very.
Yeah. With Port & Co. and Sport Tech and stuff like that, which they also buy a lot of Gildan and sell Gildan products. So they compete with brands that they distribute. And so what's interesting here is the playbooks are much different. Like the private equity playbook is kind of these different phases, right? They buy a company, they grow it organically, they put in technology, they expand operational excellence, and then they grow by acquiring competitors. So like S&S bought TSC, they bought Alpha Broder, right? And that's how they can grow really quickly. So instead of growing 10%, they can double. That's how they increase purchasing power, right? That's how they shut down different warehouse, consolidate. They basically create like very dense distribution, right? So when S&S bought Alpha Broder, that was like a huge power move. And that basically means like they become the de facto platform in the space. They own all of the customers. What's next for them is probably different from Sanmar, right? And so imagine now all of a sudden you've bought your big, a huge competitor, Alpha Broder. You are one of the largest distributors. You're probably doing, I don't know, $4 to $5 billion. I'm just guessing. I might be completely off. And then next thing you know, one of your biggest brands just gets pulled from underneath you. I mean,
what do you think was their percentage of sales was about? Like, we have no idea, but
I bet you it was 5 to 10%. That's 500 million. That could be $250 to $500 million. Like, Sanmar just kind of made S&S their little brother in that move.
And did Bell and Canvas sold through Alpha Broder before Alpha Broder and S&S merged? Because then you're that percentage is more significant, right? Because yes, they combined Alpha Broder's, I think it was $1 billion or $2 billion in revenue. If it was also 10% of them or so.
So the question I want to ask, Bruce, is if we were inside the board at Sanmar's brain right now, why do you think they did this move? Like, this is a chess move right here. Why do you think they did it? I have some different theories, but I'm really interested to hear your perspective. What is the thematic approach behind buying this and then rolling it in?
I think Sanmar, first of all, hats off to Sanmar team, because from a business perspective, from their point of view, I think it's an incredibly smart move. You know, Bella does it in incredible business. They have great products. They're like, why not have everyone going through Sanmar? And I think what they're doing now is being able to buy volume. As in where, and it's no different than S&S, like you said, buying Alpha Broder. They're buying volume. They're buying volume through distributors. Sanmar's buying volume through purchasing brands.
I think there's something deeper than this.
Oh, should I get my tinfoil hat on?
No. I keep riffing on this. Why else? Okay, volume. That could be one reason. Why else do you think?
Do you think there's a data play? Does it get more information about consumers and buying trends and, you know?
Did they do this to get on offense? Did they do this to hurt their competitors? So like, okay, from one point of view, if they knew the private equity play that S&S was doing, right? Rolling up, buying other buying Alpha Broder, and then they did this to pull the rug on it. Doesn't it mess with that private equity firm's playbook badly?
You have a good point. Maybe that is the chess move. They buy Alpha Broder. So you took, you know, the rook or whatever. Sanmar goes out and purchases Bell and Canvas. They steal the knight. And so there's just two less chess pieces there on the board to now they continue playing.
Or like the queen.
Ooh, what is the queen? I think the queen is Gildan.
The queen's Gildan. Yes. Whatever's right next to the queen. Bishop. They took their bishop. So Sanmar took S&S's bishop, both their bishops, just like bam, bam, right? The Bella bishops. And if you are now the private equity firm that owns S&S, are you just like, well, shit. Now we have to go back to the drawing boards and figure out what we're going to do. So do you think Sanmar did this because to screw with them, to screw with their playbook?
No, I don't think it's a vendetta thing. I mean, this is an offense play. I mean, look, if Sanmar has the verticalization ability, right? They can manufacture, they can sell, they can warehouse. Why not sub in other brands into that play and consolidate those existing warehouses, those existing sewing houses? You can roll it up into their existing capacity. I'm sure they could save significant overhead and have some margin gain over time and still sell a great product and pump it out while also putting a jab into their competitors too.
So you think it helps the Port and Company and the Sport Tech, the owned brands play? Like it boosts up their own brands.
Look, on a different perspective, this is AS Colors play by going direct to consumer with the brand, with the exact products to have the touch point to the customer, to get feedback from the customer, to get the customer data and buying habits directly from them. But AS is one brand, Sanmar, if, you know, who knows, maybe AS at some point wants to acquire others and slowly build that's like a Gildan, an early Gildan. And it's the same thing that Sanmar's done.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do people in the space buy Bella Canvas or do they buy Sanmar?
That's a great question. I'd say Bella and Canvas, but you know, you've got a layer of the customer service and the ability to get the stuff. And
do people buy brands or do they buy the place that gives you the brands? Like, do you buy...
It's a good question because you wouldn't buy it if you couldn't get it quickly either.
Mm-hmm. So do you buy Nike or do you buy Nordstrom's?
You buy Nike until you find out about Nordstrom's own brands that are competitive in pricing too.
You just go to the Nike store, right? But I think there's something to be said here is Bella is a destination brand. People seek it out, right? Like they've done a fabulous job, obviously like Aloe, right? Like that's the parent of it. But maybe Sanmar realized if they own a premium, like one of the premium fashion forward brands, when people come to buy them, when people come to buy Bella, they'll also be like, oh, what else can I get here? Because like Comfort Colors is a destination brand. Every decorator knows Bella. And also like Bella is becoming, at least I think, more of a household name that people actually know a little bit more today. Like I would say the household name that everyone always knows is Comfort Colors. Like people know Comfort Colors, but I think Bella's... So the question I'll ask is, did Sanmar buy a t-shirt company or millions of purchasing decisions?
I think a combination of both. But I will say, I think the beauty of this, and maybe that's just of, you know, the US in general, is the free market. If I remember correctly, Bella originally blew up years ago because of the void from American Apparel. So if I remember, when they were starting to explode in a bad way, then Bella jumped in because the distributors needed a sort of similar product that they can replace it and be able to sell it. And they happened to be at the right place at the right time and were picked up and used that to have a really good jump point. So S&S, in my opinion, is going to also be looking to fill that void with another brand. And that's going to be a huge explosion to whoever decides to step up. I mean, what if that's the Stanley and Stella? What if, you know, there was a lot of bigger new brands in.
I mean, but the thing about it is if my sales team sold Bella Canvas, right, over and over and over again, right? And we sell Bella, we sell, like, here's something that's really interesting, Bruce. We sell almost no Next Level. And I can go into a different shop 100 miles away and they sell exclusively Next Level. Like there is a flavor of your business based on what your sales team is used to selling. And so if my sales team is used to selling Bella Canvas, you know, and there's no reason why they don't sell Next Level. They just have a comfort with Bella Canvas. I don't know. They put their customers into it. Not going to stop selling it. So they're going to punch that into Printavo. So Mila, when she goes to buy, she's going to be like, all right, I guess I'm going to Sanmar to buy this now. So it's like, I think Sanmar realizes that the switching cost for S&S to move those customers over to be like, hey, by the way, you can get Next Level. And you're like, meh, you know, because that's like a conscious decision. I don't think businesses will just constantly say like, oh, I'll find something different now that it's not at Sanmar. If that's such a big part of your business, you'll just probably start buying from them a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. But from an SNS revenue perspective, they have to fill the void. Like if you said it was 5% or 10%, whatever it was, they have to find their new Bella brand. And I'm sure they will. And they'll start to pump it. And maybe they already had this. I mean, right. Like I'm sure rumors around this was been going on for a while. So, you know, they're on the eight ball. They're a sharp team.
Do you think the move? Okay, let's talk about SNS now. What are your predictions for SNS and what will happen to them? Like, do you think so they could buy a brand? They have to do something. They can't sit on their heels. Do you think they're going to be able to just make up that revenue with everything they have in their catalog? Or do you think they're going to have to do something really strategic?
No, I don't think you can just, like you said, I think people have the flavor. So if you're buying Bella, you're just going to buy Bella wherever it's being sold and, you know, deal with potential changes in ship times or reps that you may need or whatever it is. And you'll just continue on. But you're right. Like, yes, it throws a wrench in SNS in that they need to find out who their next Bella is and then put marketing dollars and talk about it for the next couple of years to be able to get it to that brand. Is that difficult? I mean, I don't think we're selling like, you know, rockets to Mars here, right? Like I think someone can be able to come up with another great product, a really good quality, you know, line of apparel and be able to dive in and, you know, tons of different options and then let SNS stock everywhere and so on. I don't know if SNS is the type to just buy brands, though. I'm not sure they've done that. It seems they've only bought distributors and some software. And so that's where I think that they'll be able to go. They're going to work with one of the existing brands and they're going to be able to sub it in. Someone that has a lot of promise and show.
I think that something different is going to happen. I'm going to throw something out there. So SNS is a distributor, but they also own a portfolio of house brands, Team 365, Core 365, Devin & Jones, North End, Tultex, I believe. But there's a big giant in the room that we have not talked about yet. And that's Gildan. What do you think Gildan's thinking right now? Because American Apparel just went exclusive with SNS.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this podcast in 2 years and be like, you guys were so wrong. Or like Jeremy's listening to this and Frank's listening to this and these dumbasses, what do they know?
I didn't know about that as well, but that's super interesting. Do you think one of them merges or acquires Gildan then?
No. So Gildan just bought Hanes. Do you know that?
I've heard that, yes.
You've been living under a rock, huh? Gildan bought Hanes, which I think is Champion.
Okay.
I think Gildan buys SNS Activewear because then like Gildan is the ultimate t-shirt mafia mob boss. And then I think Gildan wins the entire distribution chain.
All right, mark it down.
Okay, tell me I'm crazy. What?
I could see it. I absolutely
and Gildan's public,
think that there's,
right?
Yes. I think that there's definitely going to be a combination of SNS and Gildan or Sanmar Gildan.
Why would Sanmar do it?
And just because that
Why would Sanmar do it?
Just because that Gildan exclusively sells anything through SNS doesn't even matter. I mean, we just saw it with the Bell thing. It doesn't like they'll just pull it off the they'll pull it off the shelf again.
You think that if Gildan bought SNS, they would pull it from Sanmar?
I don't know who would buy who because it's hard to say. Like Gildan's the only public company in this. So I don't know the sizes and like valuations of an SNS or a Sanmar and like who technically would buy who or how that would work. I'm more so saying that they would combine. And yes, one of them would be owning the other one. But yes, I do think one will combine with the
Gildan's
other.
Gildan's market cap is $9.4 billion. I think SNS and Sanmar in the like 3 to 5 range. And so,
well, SNS, Frank was saying, I believe they're 3 to 4 in revenue. I'm not sure what the valuation of that.
What's Gildan's revenue? So if you were to do 10% profit times 10 to 15 times EBITDA, I bet you it's $3 to $5 billion. Gildan revenue this year. Gildan's revenue for Q1 was $1.1 billion. So yeah, it's somewhere between $5 and $6 billion in revenue and their market cap is $9 billion. But I think Gildan, so do you ever see a private company buying a public company, Bruce? Like,
yeah, they'll take Gildan private, right?
So what's really interesting is you can actually search the different moves that the PE firm has made. And so you can say like, what exits has CDNR made and their track record. You can try to see like maybe some patterns of how they're thinking about this, which would kind of be nuts. But yeah, I mean, this happens in this, like, I think what's funny is when we see about this, we see the forums and people think like, oh my God, what's happening to the world? Like this happens everywhere in the world. We've seen this.
Yeah. I think the biggest concern is, around pricing still, but in my point of view, they still have to remain pretty competitive. There's still quite a few options. And again, if you outprice someone, this is a perfect opportunity for a new entrance. But what I would love to highlight is how interesting the path has been from, let's say, 10 years ago, where distributors were distributors, you know, manufacturers, and brands were brands. And so, or like, you know, the apparel brands were apparel brands. And that was how it's been. And, you know, very quickly, those are completely meshed together. All of them are really molded together, and there's little groups of all of them in their little pockets, and they continue to grow.
I mean, when I started at Campus Inc., Campus Sportswear, just 2014, 2015, SNS was just expanding to the coasts. They had just bought EVA and Americana. It was like, and they just had their one facility in Joliet. So it's like crazy what 10 years has done. But like, Bruce, do you know that this happened with Disney and Netflix?
No. What do you mean?
So like Disney was licensed to Netflix, all the Marvel and Star Wars and all that stuff. And then they realized they were losing the customer data because they were just like giving their stuff to the distributor. So that's where they launched Disney Plus to own the relationships. Luxottica owns a bunch of brands, Ray-Ban, Oakley. You saw this happening with Nike, where they've reduced a ton of their wholesale. You can buy from Nike or company-owned stores. You know, like Apple used to sell through Circuit City and CompUSA and Best Buy. And now they've like reduced that down. Amazon Basics.
Those are really great points. Owning the full relationship. And we thought that was crazy when AS Color kept pushing and pushing and pushing on something like that. They are onto something. Hey guys, leave your comments below. We'd love to know what you think about all of this, your perspectives. Maybe we'll have some folks on from the companies and we can talk a little bit more and they could share some stuff behind the scenes. We'll see who we can get.
We'll see who reaches out. SNS, Sanmar.
Yeah, we'll see who gets pissed off and reaches out.
Well, who wants to come out and clear the record from Steven and Bruce's terrible assumptions? I don't know. Isn't this fun to think about, though? You know what's really cool, Bruce? As I was researching this, I was just having a conversation with ChatGPT about this. I'm like, can you explain this to me? Like, I'm five. Okay, how does this work? What was CDR's track record? What do you think they're family owned? Why do you think they're doing it? I learned so much in the process. So couldn't be a podcast without saying AI. This is fun. This is fun.
All right, pronouncers. We appreciate you guys joining us for a little tinfoil corner with Steven and Bruce. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
See y'all.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.